Welcome to Sessions by Monster Chats. Sessions is a new kind of show for us where we ditch the script and instead dig into the real stories behind the people in our professional lives. How do we all come together in this world of entrepreneurship, sales, and unified communications? One session at a time. On today's episode, I'm going to be talking with Ryan Blaney. Ryan and I are going to be talking about brand protection, intellectual property, and emerging technology. I'm Colin Mitchell, the host of Monster Chats and the founder of Monster VoIP. Ryan Blaney is a multilingual business attorney specializing in brand protection, intellectual property, blockchain, and emerging technology. He is the principal and founder of Bolimini International, which is a legal consultancy set up to provide quality legal counsel at a price more affordable than large bureaucratic firms. He is also an adjacent professor of innovation management at Marymount California University, and an adjacent professor of the international contracts law at the University of California, Irvine. Ryan, welcome to Monster Chats.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Wow. Thanks so much for coming on here. Let's just jump right in. Tell us a little bit about your story. Where did you grow up and how did you get into law? And then how did you get into these very specific, practices of law?
Yeah. Well, I'm a hybrid. So I was born in Los Angeles. But my mother's from Spain. So I lived in the area east of downtown LA called the Hacienda Heights. But my parents shuttled me off to Barcelona for the sixth grade and the seventh grade and the 10th grade. So I just kind of kept hopping back and forth between countries.
Which is great.
It allowed me opportunities to learn different languages and make new friends that are still friends today. And law, I don't know, have you in high school, did you ever have to read the book To Kill a Mockingbird?
Yeah.
So I read that and then I saw the movie and I thought Gregory Peck was the most amazing man I'd ever seen. So I wanted to be him. And then I pivoted once in law school. I found a passion for arts. I love to paint and draw. And so I thought the only way I could be around creative people is to do intellectual property. So I started my career as a music attorney in Hollywood and representing mainly pop rock Latino bands. And it was mostly okay. It's kind of hard to get your clients to sign contracts when they're drunk or on drugs. So that got a little bit frustrating. but I learned a lot and then worked for several firms and companies. And I was miserable. I was absolutely miserable in corporate America. My last job was for Southern California Edison in their advanced technology division. And I turned 40. I just didn't want to live my life that way. So on January 1st of 2018, I wrote about an email to my boss saying I'm not coming back. I went down to the local beach to do the annual New Year's Day polar bear plunge to rid myself of all the negative energy and started my practice. And now it's good. The first year, I'm not gonna lie, for any entrepreneur, it's really hard. I had the blessing of a very supportive husband who has a good job, so I could have medical insurance, but I still pulled from a part of my 401k to sustain myself. Then the second year, it got, networking like crazy and slowly having clients come in. And then clients that I had a year prior referring me to friends and family. And now I'm in my third year and I gotta tell you, it's amazing. I even worried during the first week of quarantine how this would affect a small legal practice. And I've been pleasantly surprised. I don't know if it's because people have more time on their hands and they're at home or they're furloughed, but people are being really entrepreneurial. And want to start a new venture or want to start selling things on Etsy or Pinterest. So I've been in a whirlwind of setting up, LLCs or corporations, doing their trademarks, some patent work. And it's been great. I landed here in San Pedro, California, where my parents moved to. And I fell in love with the community. And then I got rolled into, there's this massive warehouse at the end of the LA Harbor that was a tuna cannery for about 70 years and then abandoned. And then about 3 years ago, the Annenberg Foundation dumped about $25 million into it to make it a tech incubator. Mm. So it's called Altacy. It's in the midst of still being restored. And it's a really, I work out of there most days. And it's what's called a blue tech campus. So only startups can be there that somehow relate to the ocean or water. There's a couple of sustainable aquaculture companies. Boeing moved in there with their underwater research submarine. There's a company that makes underwater robots. So anyways, I'm the only lawyer amongst lots of engineers, and it's been a great way to network and help out in the startup world.
Interesting. Wow. Okay. So let's go back to the beginning for a second. So you said something interesting. So you went and studied abroad a few years as a kid, right? Mm-hmm. Barcelona. So would you say 6th, 7th, and 10th grade?
Right.
What was that like?
The first time I was really, I'd been going to Spain every summer to see my grandmother and my cousins, but to actually go to school in Spain, I was terrified the night before school. Yeah. And I know the first week I could tell in the eyes of the kids who were all locals, when they said they had a California boy come into class, they had all these preconceived notions of what I would look like. And of course I had to surf and carry my surfboard around everywhere. So I think I gutted some of their expectations. Mm-hmm. But anyways, then the next year I wanted to go back. My parents brought me back for 8th grade, and I said, I just love it too much. I want to do one more year in high school. So they let me do it, living with my grandmother. And it's awesome. Those are the friends that I still have to this day.
Wow, that's incredible. All right, so then you tell me about the day that you wrote the letter to your boss that you weren't coming back. What was that like? And was there anything that kind of led up to that? Or how hard was it to make that jump of going out on your own after, you know, working there for some time?
It was very hard. Having been in corporate America since 2005, and a little bit of background story, I had put on for a couple of months from the company because of some corporate bull going on that got pretty bad. And so I said, you know, we want you to go away for a little bit so we can investigate yourself. And then when they said they were ready for me to come back, I was like, you know, this might be fine. It's really hard to send this email, but I just got to have and did it. And then the first, I want to say 3, 4, 5 months, if you go from corporate America to the startup world, you feel like you've escaped from prison and on the sidewalk, but don't know where to go. I would get to my dining room table at 8 or a.m., 9 a.m. with my laptop and start working. And I would see my whole neighborhood starting to drive away to their offices or wherever they're going to go. And mm-hmm. So you feel a sense of guilt. You feel if I'm not driving somewhere, I'm not being successful. And when you finally get out of that mindset that you're actually being more, practical, more time sensitive, because you actually don't have to go someplace, you're more productive, then you get to a good place. But it's hard to break that mindset.
Yeah. And you said the first year was really tough. What were some of the big challenges in that first year?
One of the networks, that wasn't something that I had been actively taught in law school. They don't teach you how to network. And in different law firms or corporations, they just tell you what to do and they hand you the work. You don't have to go find it. Mm-hmm. And just learning, constantly learning. I mean, QuickBooks, my God. I mean, that took me 3 months to figure out and to do my own invoicing. I think that's the hardest thing, is you realize you're not just the lawyer, quote unquote, you're marketing, you're finance, you're IT, you're everything. Mm-hmm. And then looking at your peers that have been in it for a long time, longer than you, and you find how they are doing things. So this person has a virtual assistant, which only costs $10 a month. This person uses Grasshopper, which is technology to filter calls. You're constantly learning, and that's a good thing. at first I would feel fearful because I didn't know a lot about being a small business owner. But then once you grasp the fact that as long as you continue to grow, you will be successful. And the most important thing I have to say to entrepreneurs or who are thinking about it is never stop believing you can move forward. The minute you say, I don't have this, I don't got this, then you're going to fail.
Mm. And failure is not a bad thing, right? You can learn from mistakes and learn and grow as you go along, like you mentioned. Mm-hmm.
Yes, but when I'm in, but I guess I should, failure is not the right thing. But when you feel like I can't do this anymore, you get that email from LinkedIn seeing this like job that looks amazing, and you think back when you had a paycheck and no responsibilities except doing your work. Mm-hmm. Clicking on that, going to the interview and accepting the job is when there may be no way to come back into independence.
Mm-hmm. Right. So not giving up.
Exactly.
Up. Right.
I failed that. I will admit I did that once. About a year and a half in, I was having a really crummy week. My credit card debt was going through the roof. I was like, I can't do this. I saw this amazing job opportunity and I applied and they called me and it was in downtown LA. And the whole time there driving, I was like, why do I want to do this again? Like, why do I want to do this again? And then going up into that ivory tower and seeing all the people stare at me in different offices and thinking about the corporate politics, I was like, nope, I didn't get the job, but that's okay. I made my decision before I walked in the door.
Maybe just going down there and seeing that was what you needed to realize, I definitely don't want to go down this path.
Correct. It was a very good exercise for my mental health and enthusiasm.
Yeah. So one of the biggest challenges you said has really been networking, right? Because it's not something that you ever had to think about before. What are some of the things that you do now to constantly be meeting more people and networking and getting yourself out there?
Join a group. I had no idea there were networking groups. Some have a financial cost associated, some don't. I fell into meeting a young lady who was also a lawyer in some group called BNI. And going to those weekly meetings and then having events outside of the meetings, that's how I got the ball rolling and I met so many people. The most amazing aspect of being on my own has been how many people I've met. I've met so many new friends because in an office building, you're with the same group of 20 people every day, all year on. So join a group. And then after a period of time, I left that group. And also if you have a local chamber of commerce, be very active in them. I was active in my local chamber of commerce here in San Pedro. And then after 2 years, they voted me onto the board of directors, which has been an amazing experience.
So getting active in networking groups, getting active in your community, those are things that have really helped you grow your business?
For sure. I'd say, 95%.
Wow. Okay. And so what sort of plans do you have to try to, scale your business and, build more of those relationships that help you take your business to the next level?
Well, I think I had in the last year hired 2 part-time people to do my social media and marketing for me because it got to a point where I just don't have the time or desire to do it. Mm. And they're much better than I am. So the other thing is I've hired on part-time a patent attorney who specializes in patents. And so I think my dream is to scale into showing that I have a wider offering of services for legal services and then the great thing about quarantine is that all of these networking things are on Zoom. Mm-hmm. So I could actually do more events now than I did before. Before it'd be 5 p.m. and I'd be so tired of working. I don't want to drive to Santa Monica for some Google event. I don't want to drive to Irvine for some tech event. Take advantage of all the online networking opportunities because once we start to open up, someone needs to think might be here for good.
Right. Yeah. We're going to take a quick second just to tell you a little bit about what we do here at Monster VoIP. We started Monster Point, frankly, because we're sick and tired of getting gouged on our business phone bills and getting dropped calls. Today, we serve over 6,000 customers, and we're passionate about saving businesses money and giving them the features that they need in a modern tech stack. If you'd like to learn more, you can text info to 424-378-6966. Ryan, thanks so much for coming on today and telling us a little bit about your story. Is there anything else you want to let people know, or at least tell people where they could find you online and connect with you before we let you go?
Sure. No, thank you so much for having me. You can check out my firm and my team at our website, www.bolimini.us, which is pronounced Bolimini. Which is actually the name of the cave in Spain that my family, on the farmland that my family still owns. And reach out to me via email or Instagram or Twitter. We are always happy to help and love meeting new people.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Ryan. If you are listening to the podcast, please subscribe, share with your friends, and we're listening for your feedback. The show is all about you. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Sessions by Monster Chats, presented to you by Monster VoIP. Monster VoIP started, frankly, because we were sick and tired of getting gouged on our business phone bill and getting dropped calls all of the time. Today, Monster VoIP serves over 6,000 customers and is passionate about saving businesses money and giving them the features that they need in a modern tech stack for today's companies. Text trial to 424-378-6966 to get your free trial of Monster VoIP.